Okay, the Old Testament reading course in Easter, we're into first lessons that come also from the New Testament. So for the next couple of weeks or so, we'll be doing the Psalm of the Week as an exercise in Hebrew. So the one for Easter 2, or first Sunday after Easter, is Psalm 148. And you know, it's an interesting one because it's part of that whole closing section of Hallelujah Psalms, invitations, exhortations to praise. As we move along, I'll point it out again, I suppose, that it looks to me like there are three main sections to the psalm, and we'll see how they're marked. But thematically or in terms of vocabulary, I think they're pretty well marked also. Verses 1 through 6 have to do with the created order in the heavens, including angels in verse 2. Then verses 7 through 10 deal with phenomena and animals and so forth that are sort of in the earthly level of creation. And then finally verses 11 through 14 deal with people of various orders. So let's begin. Okay, verse 1, Hallelujah, which sort of introduces it, serves as a maybe a kind of opening antiphon. Praise Yahweh, the sort of diminutive form of Yahweh, the short Yah. And Hallelujah, since we'll encounter that elsewhere, PAL imperative of halal. And so the balance of verse 1, Hallelujah et Yahweh min ha-shamayim, Hallelujah ba-maromim. Praise, and this time we have the kind of the full designation or denotation of the direct object with the particle et, from, or sort of out of, the heavens. Min, I'm using, taking their understanding it as a kind of source thing. So the perspective or the vantage point of the psalmist is to be standing on the earth, but he's looking, you know, sort of toward the heavens and anticipating praise to issue from there. The last part, Hallelujahu ba-maromim, praise him, this time the imperative form plus the third singular masculine object suffix, at least one form of it, who, with the consonantal form, in, and maromim, marom, a noun built from or built on the verbal root room, now as a plural, can be a kind of superlative. It's either in the high places, so to speak, if you make it more substantive, or praise him in the highest would be another option. You can see that the next several verses begin and include this same form, Hallelujahu. Verse 2, Hallelujahu, call Malakal, praise him, all his messengers or angels, Malak, with the third singular masculine pronominal suffix for plural nouns. Hallelujahu, call Tzibaal, praise him, all his host. And there the apparatus is a little bit worth taking a look at, because they will actually, instead of the comet's vav, which suggests it as somehow it would be the ending or the pronominal suffix for a plural noun, simply to have tsva-o, which would be the third singular masculine suffix for a singular noun. Now the thing is, tsava would be ordinarily, it would either have the interior yod if it were to be a masculine plural noun, or if it was tsva-ot, which is what we're more accustomed to with Yahweh, tsva-ot, the oath would stay there and we would expect it to be tsva-oto, or tsva-otal, rather. At any rate, again, it's the sort of the angelic beings, the army of Yahweh, are to praise him. Verse 3, Hallelujah, Shemesh, Va-Yareach, praise him, sun, and Yareach is one of the words that gets used for the moon. Hallelujah, Kol Kokvei, or praise him, all the stars, Kokvim, stars of light. If we understand that the angelic beings are created sort of in between the creation of matter, as it were, heaven and earth, but before the establishment of light on the earth, then we can kind of see why verse 2 fits in before verse 3. Verse 4, Hallelujahu Shmei HaShemayim, praise him, heavens of the heavens, which is the highest heaven, again a kind of superlative. I forget what chapter that's in Dr. Bartelt's grammar offhand, but one way of dealing with it. Va-Hamayim Asher Me'al HaShemayim, and the waters which are, and again, just notice how Hebrews tends to pile up prepositions, me'al hashamayim, sort of from above the heavens. Here we get into, sort of cosmologically, the business of the firmament and the waters that are above, so that when the flood had happened, there were waters that were let loose from above, as well as things that came from the deeps below. Let's see, verse 5. And now we get a jussive, Yahalu et Shem Yahweh. Let them praise the name of Yahweh. Ki hu tziwa vanivra'u. Because he, and emphatic, somewhat emphatic by the use of the inclusion of the personal pronoun, He commanded, and they were created. A nifal, perfect, third plural common of bara. And then to elaborate, so you can see we're talking creation language here. Verse 6, Vayamidem la'ad la'plam chok natan velo Yavor. The verb yamidem, hifil, imperfect, while consecutive, third singular masculine. He caused something to stand, caused them, aim, their third plural masculine object suffix, and the tsere is the typical connecting vowel for an imperfect. He made them stand, or we might say he established them, la'ad la'olam. Ad, we encounter oftentimes as a preposition until, but in a kind of nominal way, it parallels olam. So it's sort of to forever and forever, or we might say simply forever and ever. He established them forever and ever. The chok, a boundary he gave, he sets a boundary, and it is not, it does not go away. I'm making a little bit of a variation on the verb avar, which we usually have as transgress or cross over or something like that, but it also can have to do with something that one sets aside, and here the boundary does not sort of intransitively go away. Not that somebody actively removes it, but it does not pass away. And that part concludes the part about the heavenly issues of things and the sort of the kind of larger universe. Verse 7 now picks up the kind of the earth-bound things, and that's introduced by that first clause, Hallelujah et Yahweh, praise Yahweh, min ha'aretz, instead of min ha'shamayim, as it was in verse 1b, I guess you call it. Praise Yahweh from the earth, taninim v'kol tahomot. Taninim, the sea creatures, you also see sea monsters, all of the things, the animal life that inhabits the ocean, and all the deeps, which now it's sort of in contrast with the Hamayim Asher Me'al Hashamayim in verse 4, now we have the oceans and things like that. And notice how we get into sort of elemental things with verse 8. Praise him from the earth, and this set of nouns in verse 8, I think, need to be treated somewhat like continuations of bodies, particular things that are being called on to praise Yahweh. Aish, fire, uvarad, hail. This is a nice exercise in looking up words in a dictionary. Sheleg, snow, v'kitor, and smoke. And there's an interesting little bit of a chiasis there in terms of fire and smoke, hail and snow, different elements there. Ruach sarah, ruach here, more at wind of a storm. Osa divaro, And if we just at this point have the ruach sarah as the subject of the participle osa, which is the kal participle singular feminine, then it's the wind of the storm, sort of, which does or is doing his word. And here, davar probably encompasses the will. The word of Yahweh is the expression or the utterance of his will. So, and it probably, at this point, is not confined just to the ruach sa'arah, but to, in one sense, it's each of these things, that God is in control of the elements, the meteorological ones and the things that have to do with the oceans and tides and all of those kinds of things. And it continues. Verse 9, Heharim, the mountains, v'kol gevaot, and all the high places, all the hills. 8, Peri, woodenly tree of fruit, fruit trees, the kol arazim, and the arazim are the cedars, as in the cedars of Lebanon. So there you get sort of a little bit of a merism in terms of plants that, trees in particular, that have been provided to produce food, and the ones, the cedars that from which houses would be built and so forth. Verse 10, Hachayat v'kol behema, remes v'tzipor kanaf. The living thing, and chaya is used in a really sort of a multivalent way. I mean, at its base, it is just sort of any living thing. So that humans are called nefesh chaya, but animals also are called that as well. And in conjunction with the Kol Behema, you know, all the beast, every beast. I think that we're supposed to see this in terms of all of the living orders, especially of larger land animals and things like that. Now, Remus, that one occurs back in Genesis 1. The creepy crawly things, things that creep or swarm also. And the Tzipor Kanaf are bird of wing, winged birds. So again, we've sort of seen in this verse a collection of things that are indicative of the larger order of animals. At this point, there's not something that talks in the same terms as verses 5 and 6 about God's calling these things into being and establishing them. We move right along into the other things that pertain to life on the earth, particularly its people. Malkei Eretz, kings of the earth, or the kings of the earth, kings of earth. Bekol La'umim, and all peoples of different sorts. So maybe in a sense, those who govern and those who are governed. Sarim, chiefs, princes, depending on context, Sar and Sarim. Bekol Shoftei Aretz, and all the judges of earth. And here it might also there might also be something of a chiastic structure balancing the Malkei Eretz, kings of the earth, with Shoftei Aretz, judges, those who govern, and that the Le'umim and Sarim are sort of a lower order in terms of governance. Bahurim Vagam Betulot, chosen ones, and a masculine form there, and also Betulah, daughter, also in particular virgin daughter. The Bahurim often are, they would be sort of the men of fighting age and stuff like that. So these would be sort of men and women in the, I'll call it prime of their lives, but they are sort of at their most robust. And then that's sort of amplified, I guess, and qualified by calling on the Zakenim im Ne'arim. Let's see, the old ones with, and Nahar, young boy or lad, with the youths. So you have something that indicates, encompasses gender or sex, male and female, and now you have something that also encompasses age, old with young. Now, verse 13, notice, echoes verse 5a. Yahalalu et Chaim Yahweh. Pray, let them, all these things, praise the name of Yahweh. Now, this time it's not about his commanding and their coming to be, but it's more about it amplifies the what it is to praise the name of Yahweh. Ki nisgav shmo levado. For his name is exalted. And there might even be a little bit of a volitive force to this, or something that would sort of emphasize his name is to be exalted, levado, alone. Bad is kind of sort of the side, and so this is sort of to his side. And in some contexts, it would be then you would actually have something that expresses a little bit more a negative, like something is not to happen, besides him. But here it seems to take force the exclusiveness of his name's exaltedness means that his name is or is to be exalted alone. And that's echoed Hodu al Eretz v'Shamayim. Hodo, which is a little bit unusual. Expect it to be give thanks or something like that, upon earth and heaven, or in earth and heaven. Hal there. Hodu. Hifil, imperative of Yada. Yada, Yod, Dalet, He, not Yada with the Yod, Dalet, Ayin. Verse 14, Vayarem, Karen, Le'amo, Vayarem, of course, an interesting form here pointed as an imperfect vowel consecutive, column perfect vowel consecutive of room. Hifil, because the sigol shows the truncation from the infixed yod, whereas if it were kal, it would be vayarom, and there'd be kamas katuf there. So it's the idea that his horn, kerev, is to be raised or exalted by, in reference to his people, La'amo. Then Tehillah L'kol Chasidal. Tehillah, notice that the Hebrew title for the Book of Psalms is Tehillim. So there's something about praise, but here, the substance of praise has more to do with the praiseworthiness of Yahweh and His work, as opposed to the praise that is offered by His people. So here, the Tehillah is more parallel with Yahweh's Karen, His horn or authority, and even with His Shem, His name. So His praise is to be exalted, or let his praise be exalted by or among all his devoted ones. Notice the chesed in there, the chasidim now plus the third singular masculine pronominal suffix for plural nouns. So his devoted ones, his loyal ones. Livnei Yisrael, by the sons or children of Israel. Am Kerovo, people of his nearness. Which way do you sort of take that? Is it the people who are near to him or the people to whom he is near? Yeah, probably both. And then finally, Hallelujah, praise Yahweh. So as the psalm began, it ends. Now what do you do with a psalm in Easter, especially one that is not talking about, there's nothing about sin, nothing about a Messiah or Savior, nothing about resurrection as such. Well, here would be kind of my take. I think we need to recognize how the resurrection of Jesus is the inauguration of the new creation. That's something that is not at all yet complete, and it's often very, very hard to see. And yet we don't find in the gospel accounts anything about when Jesus is raised that somehow there are signs, let's say, that would be comparable to the angels appearing to the shepherds at his nativity and things like that. Nevertheless, the ramifications or the consequences of Jesus' resurrection for us and for all creation are that it announces and inaugurates the reversal that will find its consummation in the consummation, and so is to be celebrated. And I think that a way that this can be used homiletically is to invite or remind God's people that we are in Christ, new creatures now. If anyone is in Christ, it's a new creation, new creature. The old has passed away, or certainly is in the process of passing away, and the new is to come. So that our lives, in terms of our vocation, vocation as the baptized, and vocation in terms of all of the ways in which we go about our lives, those things are all have the opportunity to be informed by the resurrection to which we have been connected, and therefore our lives of praise for God and His praiseworthy work, His Tehillah. Got any questions about today? Not a lot of strange verb forms or anything like that. It's pretty much a straightforward one. All right. Thank you.